Good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. If you would, take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms here, the moms listening online and on the radio. We're so thankful for you, and we're so thankful for the privilege to gather with you today and celebrate Mother's Day and celebrate the Lord and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say also thank you for all the kind cards and taking time to come over last week and celebrate my birthday. I appreciate that. That was a wonderful, unexpected encouragement. I appreciate that very, very much. This week, I've been away. I've been away for the first couple days of the week. I am on the Kentucky Baptist Mission Board, your mission board, and it was a privilege to hear what God's doing all across the Commonwealth, really, really encouraging things in not just our churches, but also in our entities. Remember, as Southern Baptists, we support missions through the cooperative program, and that means each time you give, a portion of what you give goes to encourage those, support missions at home and abroad, and that matters in an incredible way. We have much, much, much to be thankful for as Kentucky Baptists. There is so much going on across the Commonwealth, and I am very, very thankful for that. So today we're taking a pause from our study through Ecclesiastes in the observance of Mother's Day. And so let's look together at this mom, Hannah. Parenting can be difficult, but you're not on your own. If God, I have to say, you get a whole new view when you're up in the choir loft and of folks coming in. There's lots of grandmas carrying grandbabies all around this auditorium, which that's awesome. I watched a little fella climb in the balcony up there. He bypassed about the first four steps and just climbed over, and up through he went. I love that. That's a lively, that's a church that is alive. Kids crawling all over things. Grandmas carrying grandbabies around. And that, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So parenting. Parenting is difficult, but you're not on your own. If God has entrusted you with children, He will walk with you every step of the way. Just like in every other area of life, you must put Him first, and He will guide and He will provide for you. Novelist Pearl S. Buck, a West Virginia girl, told her 16-year-old daughter that she wouldn't allow her to attend a party that had boys and girls there if there was not going to be any adult supervision. And so the girl got very, very upset, and she said, "You don't trust me." Miss Buck replied, "Of course I don't trust you. I couldn't trust myself when I was your age. What makes you think I'm going to trust you?" You have to face the fact in life that the one that is most untrustworthy in any given situation is not somebody else, but it's yourself. That our hearts, the Bible teaches us that our hearts are deceptive and above all things deceitful. That when we think about what it means to follow after the Lord, that there is a recognition that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm bankrupt. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm in big, big trouble. When we open 1 Samuel, we hear a story. This is the continuation of the history of Israel. And we hear a story about a mother, and the emphasis, we're going to talk about it in just a moment, the emphasis is repeated again and again and again. This is the story about Samuel. Samuel, the one who was used by God to speak to and anoint kings. Samuel, the one who was used by God to hear from God and give revelation. And yet, here we see what happens before his birth with his mother, Hannah. And so today I want to share with you four lessons from Hannah's parenting of Samuel. First, Hannah understood something that is key in being a parent, and that is Samuel belonged to the Lord She was just a steward. Listen to what 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. We don't know the author. The author of 1 Samuel, here's what it reads. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on my affliction, the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. So here's the story of Hannah. It's repeated again and again that Hannah was one of two wives of a man named Elkanah. The other wife had multiple children, and Hannah had none. Hannah being barren is repeated multiple times in this passage of Scripture. And so Hannah went to the temple and she prayed, and Hannah, to the point that even the people who were watching her thought that she had lost her mind. And she asked God to provide for her a child. That child would become Samuel, but she made a commitment. She said that this child, when he comes, I'm going to give him to you. I'm going to commit him to you. And so when it was time for this child to come, that's indeed what she did. And there is a recognition, again, in verse 11, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me. There is an expectation here that what is in front of Hannah, what is in front of her, is a desire to honor the Lord above all. And there is something that we learn from Hannah here that is readily important in being a parent. She first recognized this. I want you to notice something. Would you grab your pen or your pencil there in verse 11? And would you notice that condition? Because she fervently prayed first, but she recognized that it was not up to her, it was up to God. Notice what she says, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant. This didn't change the character of God. It didn't change who God was in recognizing that maybe God would not give her a son. And she was going to serve the Lord faithfully. She was going to follow after the Lord. And she went to the Lord in prayer, asking God for a son, but recognizing that maybe he wouldn't give that. My friends, just because God answers no does not mean that God does not care, and certainly does not mean that God has not given you an answer. We may not understand why when he says no. But when she went to the Lord, indeed in this case, she heard the answer yes. But she was ready for no. Second in this, Hannah recognized that if God blessed her with a child, the child was not hers to do with as she wanted, but the child was a gift from God. My friends, your children, if God has blessed you with a child, that child doesn't belong to you. That child belongs to the Lord. And there's an expectation that you're going to be a faithful steward with that child. This is just a parallel. As the pastor of Rose Hill Baptist Church, I'm not the shepherd. I'm not the chief shepherd of this church. I have a responsibility as an under shepherd to lead this church as closely as aligned to what we find in the Scripture as I possibly can. So when there are things that the Bible clearly says, we've got to do exactly as the Bible says. And we have to ask that question, if the Lord Jesus, the chief shepherd, were here, how would he make this decision? What would he do? How would he lead? And the same is the case with you as a parent. That child that you have been given belongs to the Lord. You have been called as a steward of that child. The child is not to do, you're not to do with just anything that you want with that child. That child belongs to the Lord. And you have to ask the question, then what would the Lord do if he were the parent of this child? Because I'm going to give an account. I'm going to answer. I'm going to respond to him. And God has entrusted you with this child. You heard it earlier. Here's Moses. as the children of Israel have been through the promised land, or they have been through the wilderness, and now they were getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses preaches a sermon. If you all think I preach a long time, just look at Deuteronomy. That's a sermon right there. And the whole point is to go back over what God had told the people, the children of Israel, and to prepare them to go into the promised land. And one of the most revered verses in the Bible is the one that we're going to read here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. At my house, they were there before I came, on the doorposts are these little containers. They have Hebrew letters on them, and they're supposed to be inside of those. They were there before I got there, but inside of them, there's supposed to be a rolled up piece of paper that has this scripture written right on it. Listen to what Moses said, because Moses is preparing the children of Israel to go into the promised land, and he's preparing them in their parenting. Notice what he says. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4. Listen to what he writes. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Listen to what he says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. But you will write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Notice what he says. The primary responsibility for discipling your child belongs to you. Much of life is about discipleship. Today, when your child is going through difficulty, when they're facing anxiety, when they're facing struggles, when they're being bullied at school, those are discipleship issues. You open up the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about this? How do you direct the heart? Parents, I have told you this many, many times. Parent with your Bible open. Don't ever use your Bible as a means to be unkind or cruel to your child. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us, don't provoke your children to wrath. But recognize that you, as the leader of your home, are but a steward. Because if you are a Christian, then the leader of your home has to be the Lord. And it has to be not about what you think, but about what God says. And not in the cruel way, not in an unkind way, but recognizing that the one who loves you the most and who knows you the best is the one who has designed you. And so when you're parenting, parent with the Bible open and be solid and loving about what the Bible clearly says. There is much, much, much that is being propagated to our families and to our children that is nothing more than confusing. Questioning what it means to be a boy or a girl, what it means to be a mom or a dad, what a home looks like. Well, you know what? This is not up. People say, well, you know, the Bible is so outdated. Oh, boy, it is all outdated. Thank God it's not up to date with today. Because we see a world that's more confused now than ever before. How about open a Bible and the one who has spoken to us, who spoke us into being, who upholds us by the word of his power, that one has given us instruction on how we are to lead our life and what are to be the priorities of our life. Dads, moms, have theological discussions in your home. Teach your kids that they're more than chance that's happened over millions and billions of years. But rather that they have been lovingly created by a God who loves them and has created them in his image. He has created them with a purpose. He has sent them a Savior who has died on the cross. He's buried and he rose from the grave the third day. Do all that you can in the discipling of your child. Years ago, when I started walking with the Lord, I was saved at 8 years old, did not walk with the Lord till I was 18. And when I got right with the Lord, man, my priority was to see my friends come to faith in Christ. And one of my very best friends, he and I were messaging back and forth this week about, I mean, it was very, very important messages. We were talking about a Dukes of Hazzard big wheel. He and I both had Dukes of Hazzard big wheels. Those things are $2,000 now on eBay. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Man, that was the hottest ride in the world in 1983. When I came to faith in Christ, I wanted Jason Karp, my very best friend, to come to faith in Christ. Jason got his girlfriend pregnant in high school. They were living in a little motel that had been converted into little apartments. And I went to Jason, their little apartment, and Zoe had been born. And I'll never forget this. I started talking to them about the Lord, and they were so pleased because they could stand Zoe up on the table, and she would dance, and she would sing, "Man, I Feel Like a Woman." And I said, "But you know something? The Bible teaches us that each and every one of us are sinners. And that sin separates us from God for eternity. But God, in His love, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He was buried and He rose from the grave the third day. And everybody who repents of their sins and by faith turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts in what He has done can not only have the forgiveness of sins, but have eternity with the Lord forever. You can have eternal life, salvation. I'll never forget what they said. You know, that's good for you. But we're going to expose Zoe to all the religions of the world and let her make that choice. And maybe you're here today and you have that very same idea. I would remind you of the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." It wasn't very long. I was preaching a little Baptist church up on Reamer Hill in Clinton, West Virginia. You don't need to look for the website. It's only about two rooms. And one of my very best friends, one of our mutual friends, she invited Jason and Allison, who by this point had gotten married. She invited them to come to hear me preach. And man, I preached my heart out that night, and God was gracious, and He moved, and Jason and Allison both got saved that night. And when they did, I'm going to tell you, they did everything that they could to lead Zoe and then later Clay to faith in Christ. And it wasn't just long ago, just a couple weeks ago, I saw that there was Zoe on her way on a mission trip all the way around the world. She's still following Jesus. My friends, if God has blessed you with children, then you have an incredible stewardship with the Lord. And that stewardship is to do everything that you can to see them come to faith in Christ. Do everything that you can to disciple them. Now remember, your goal, you can't force them. And in fact, you wouldn't want to. It was Thomas Jefferson who said, if you force a man to be religious, you force him to be a hypocrite. The heart of that little child, you are dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit to see that child come to faith in Christ. You are dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit to see that child obey Christ. You are dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit for you to obey Christ. And Moses is telling them right here, you're going to saturate their life with Scripture. You're going to saturate it. They're going to be posted on the doorpost. You're going to hear it when you sit down. You're going to hear it when you stand up. You're going to hear it when we're walking down the street. You're going to do everything that you can to expose that child, not to what you have to say, but what does God say about this? I'm going to tell you, you want to talk about a radical change. You want to talk about good mental health. You want to talk about a healthy life. Expose them to what God says in a loving way. You aren't here by chance. You've been lovingly created by God. Children aren't a burden. Our children, no, they may be a burden, but that's not what I mean. Children are not an imposition. Well, they may be that too. That's not, just let me get the word. They're not a bad thing. We're just going to do away. The Bible says they're a gift. And that you have a responsibility, a wonderful stewardship. And when we look at Hannah, Hannah understood that that child belonged to the Lord, and she was called to be a steward of that child. Number two, I want you to see this. Hannah had a commitment to God and recognized that that commitment to God came at a cost. Listen to what we read in verse 24. Listen to what our author gives us. Verse 24. Now, when she had weaned him, because remember her commitment. If you give me a child, I'm going to give him back to the Lord. When she had weaned him, she took him with her to the with a three-year-old bull and one epheth of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Although the child was young, and they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli, that's the priest, and she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord." Because remember, she had gone to the temple. She had gone, not to the temple, she had gone to Shiloh to pray. There is no temple yet. This is early, early on. The most recent leaders of Israel were the judges. We're that far back. There's no temple, there's no tabernacle, there's none of that yet. And so they're worshiping the Lord in Shiloh. She goes there to pray, and she sees Eli. Eli sees her, and she's moving her mouth. No sounds coming out. She's praying quietly. And she said, "You remember? I'm that woman. I was the one who was there praying. And look what the Lord has done." Look in verse 27. "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I ask of him. So I've also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And would you grab your pen, your pencil? Notice these words. "And he worshiped the Lord there." Here's the truth. Good parenting is going to be a sacrifice. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you the way other people look at you. It's going to cost you financially. That child, whether they have come to you through the womb, they have come to you naturally, they've come through adoption, that child is a part of who you are. The good and the bad. God has given us our children. He's given them for our sanctification. I'll never forget driving down the road. I've told you this before, driving down the road and seeing all the wonderful drivers. And I expressed my commentary on their great ability to drive. And I remember hearing some of those same words from the back seat. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. Because the things that you say, the way that you act, will be repeated in them. They're a part of who you are. And as you seek to raise them and do the very best that you can, and I will tell you, the only perfect parent are those who've never had children. And grandparents who want to rub it in. I'm just playing with you. But with a as a parent, you're going to celebrate. You're going to weep. Parenting comes at a cost. But obedience to God comes at a cost. Hannah prayed for years for Samuel. She went to Shiloh and prayed there. And she recognized, she made a commitment, "Lord, if you give me this child is going to be yours. I'm going to give him to you." Now, I want you to remember what she's doing. There is the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. What we don't see, a massive change in the difference between the Old and the New Testament. In the New Testament, when you come to faith in Christ because of the work of Jesus, The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. The holiest place on earth is the human heart where Jesus dwells. But wasn't the case in the Old Testament. It wasn't the case in this time. In this time, in order to be in the presence of God, you had to go where they met with God. In this time, it was Shiloh. But imagine what Hannah's done. She so loved this child that she wanted that child to be raised in the very presence of God. And that place was in Shiloh. And that place was with those priests. And so she makes a commitment. That's where this child is going to be. That's where he's going to live. Brothers and sisters, if you're going to honor the Lord in your parenting, that's going to come at a cost. That's going to come at a cost in commitment. It's going to come at a cost in obedience. It's going to come at a cost. Your life is not going to be about you anymore. By the Lord's will, it's going to be about the Lord and your stewardship in raising the children in a way that is honoring to Him. But, oh, it's going to come at a cost. You're going to hurt. You're going to celebrate. But in all of that, God is working. I want to say this to you. As you try to be faithful in being a parent, you're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. And those children need to see you repent. They need to hear from you that you love them. They need to hear from you when you were wrong. They need you to celebrate them. Listen, don't just look at your children and tell them, when they have done their very best, tell them this is the next step in doing it better. Celebrate that win and then instruct after that. You know how discouraging it is when that child's done their very best and they have achieved and they've taken that next step? There's a reason. I want any child that accomplishes anything at Rose Hill Baptist Church, I want to celebrate that. If you've accomplished something academically, I want to celebrate that. If you've accomplished something athletically, I want to celebrate that. If you have accomplished something artistically, let's celebrate that. Because there's enough going on in this world to knock these children down. Let's do everything that we can to lift them up. You know, when we stand up here with all of those moms and dads, and they're making that commitment before the Lord to raise this child in a way that is honoring to the Lord, let's do everything that we can to encourage that and support that. Because that, if we're serious about that, that's going to come at a cost. Because those children are not going to be able, they're not going to do everything the world's going to do, and that's going to cost them. They can't act like, talk like, all that. And so, being a parent is going to come at an emotional cost as well. But when we look at Hannah, I want you to see this thirdly. Hannah, listen to this. Hannah prayed for him more than she parented him. Now imagine, she takes him there in the presence of God and leaves him there at a very, very young age. And she prayed for this child more than she parented this child. This matters. Because when we look at Hannah, she only appears in 1 Samuel 1 and 1 Samuel 2. But when we look at this passage of Scripture, what is it that we see her doing again and again and again? We see her praying. You know, we often say, we say this in passing. Well, all that we can do is pray. No, my friend, the most you can do is pray. Because when you're praying, you're calling upon the God who spoke it into being and upholds it all by the word of His power, the one who can suspend natural law, the one who can bring miracles to pass. You are calling on Him to intervene. Look what it says, 1 Samuel chapter 1, or 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Look what it says. 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Verse 3, boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. Come down to verse 9. She continued, he keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail, for those who contend with the Lord shall be shattered against them. He will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. She's calling on the God who created it all, the one who will defend her. This is her prayer. Now imagine this. There is a time here that we can see very clearly that Hannah now is not the primary caregiver of her own child, the one she prayed for so long. And what did she do in response to that? She continued to pray. So maybe you are like me and you have a child who is wayward, who you can't be with. And even if you were, you can't force their heart to follow after the Lord. So what do you do? Well, you do the most important thing that you possibly can do, and you pray for them. And I mean really pray. Maybe that child is halfway around the world. You pray. Maybe that child right now is just an infant. We have a whole herd of them upstairs right now. And I'm going to tell you, those nursery workers love when I preach long sermons. You know what? Pray right now. He was my youth pastor, and I had the incredible privilege of serving on staff with him. Every Wednesday, he would fast and pray for his daughters. Every Wednesday. He would pray for them about their future. He would pray for them about their spouse. And they were little girls. Every Wednesday, he would fast and pray. Right now, one of them's married to a pastor. The other one's just getting engaged. And I saw her boyfriend just get baptized. I want to share with you, and I'm going to do this really quickly. One of my favorite professors, Dr. Elmer Towns, wrote a whole book on how to pray for your children. I'm not going to read that whole book this morning, but I do want to share with you very quickly 7 ways to pray for your child. I'm going to go quick. 7 ways to pray for your child. First, he says, pray at a set time each day for your child. Here's the truth. If you don't schedule it, it's not going to get done. It'll get shuffled and shuffled and shuffled. Number 2, pray scripture over your child. There is no better way to know that you are praying in the will of God than praying scripture. One of the most powerful, if you want to change your prayer life, pray the Bible and read the Bible and pray in response to what you read. Number 3, pray for your child's salvation and spiritual growth. Be fervent in that. Make that a priority. That is more important than their education. That's more important than their financial well-being. That's more important than anything else in their life. Number 5, pray for their protection, both physical and spiritual. I mean, I want you to think about when we look at the Lord's Prayer, that is an outline, a list of disciplines for prayer. And what is it that he tells us to pray? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Remember, brothers and sisters, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. The greatest threat to your child is not just the things that you see going on around you. The greatest threat to your child is the spiritual warfare that you can't see. And don't think for a moment that if you set a priority for your child to be raised in the admonition of the Lord, don't think for a moment that all hell's not going to come after you. And that is a battle that you can't face on your own. Number six, pray for relationships, godly friends, wise mentors, healthy family relationships. Pray for their future spouse. Pray for protection from harmful relationships. Don't think for a moment that the devil won't manipulate and send in the wrong people to lead your children astray. Not every child is a good friend for your child, but you know something. You know if you say, no, you don't need to be around them, they're going to do everything that they can to be around that child. Why? Because they're just like you and me. The very thing that says don't do, you want to do with all that you have. Number seven, pray for their calling and purpose. Discover God's calling, develop their gifts, serve others, live for God, of God's glory. Follow God's will, not the ambition of parents. Their spiritual warfare, remember, they belong to God. You are a steward and God is molding and shaping them. You want to do all that you can to see that head in the right direction. You want to do everything that you can to foster that healthy relationship. So let's just backtrack for just a moment. When we look at Hannah, she understood that child belonged to God, not her. When we look at Hannah recognized that parenting was going to come at a cost. Number three, Hannah prayed more than she parented. That child lived as Shiloh. And so she did everything that she could to pray for that child. Wherever your child is, no matter how young, no matter how old, and maybe you have no children at all, but you are asking God, just like Hannah, now's the time to start to pray. There's more obstacles coming than you can imagine. And so now's the time. Begin that discipline of prayer. And number four, and finally, Hannah supported more than she provided. Look at verse 18. Same chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look over with me at verse 18. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord. Now isn't it interesting? Here it is, Samuel is raised in the presence of God in Shiloh, and what do we see him doing? He's ministering before the Lord. Notice this, as a boy was wearing a linen ephod, and his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. You know, when we look at Hannah, what do we see her doing? We see her and Elkanah continuing to be faithful. They're continuing to walk with the Lord. They're continuing to follow after the Lord. And they've entrusted God and those priests to raise that child in a way that was honoring to the Lord. And when they look for him, when they find him, what's he doing? He is functioning like a little priest. And what does she do? She brings him, this is what a mom would do. She brings him, notice how it says, a little robe. I can just hear this. Here is Samuel, the teenager. Honey, I've got your little robe. Oh, mom, quit it. So she supported more than she provided. Parents, the parenting role, it's remarkable how the parenting role changes. And just about the time where you've really got that parenting role, where you feel as though you've got that parenting role down, it's time for a new role. The way that you parent adult children is different than the way that you parent infant children. And as they become adults, your job, I've talked to the children. When the parents so desperately want to control everything that's going on in that child's life and their adult children, I would remind you, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to a wife, and the two shall become one flesh. When that child is grown, that child is no longer under your authority. It's amazing. You are doing everything that you can to prepare that child to live a life without you. That's what faithful parenting does, to live a life with the Lord. Listen to what Soren Kierkegaard said about this. It says, the loving mother teaches her child to walk alone. She is far enough from him so that he cannot that she cannot actually support him. She holds out her arms. Her face beckons like a reward and encouragement. The child constantly strives towards a refuge in her embrace, little suspecting that in the very same moment he is emphasizing his need for her. He is proving that he can do it without her. That's what you do as a parent. You're teaching that child to go on without you. It's not to your credit if a child can't make it without you. Now listen, that doesn't mean that you don't want them to be around, that you don't want them with you. It means that that's what faithful parenting does. When we look at Hannah, we see an incredible woman here, a woman who desired to honor the Lord with all that she was, and she recognized she was a steward. She recognized that this commitment to be a faithful parent is going to come at an incredible cost. She prayed. It is remarkable. In two chapters, what do we see? We see her praying. And she supported. She spoke the truth. She encouraged more than she provided. Moms, dads, there's going to be an opportunity when that comes. You have them all the time. When, if no one else is speaking the truth in love in the life of your child, you must. Not in an unkind way, not in a cruel way, not in a controlling way, but you do all that you can to speak the truth in love. Here's what God says about that. There may be a time that you have to take a step back and you have to say, okay, I'm going to have to pray more and speak less. But when those opportunities come, you do all that you can to speak the truth. Parenting's not easy, but you're not on your own. If God has entrusted you with a child, then he will walk with you every step of the way. But in order to do that, you have to obey him. His priorities must be yours.